Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 27th day of May 2015. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll explore BOTUS. That's the waters of the U.S. final rulemaking released earlier today by the United States Environmental Protection Agency. We'll also, of course, take a look at what happened in the marketplace. Jackie Vakes will be here from Stuart Peterson. We'll check in with the guys at the Andersons at their facility in Logansport, Indiana. That's the Clymers Ethanol Plant. Hear all about the weather forecast, too, from Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And an update of growing conditions from the state statisticians in Illinois, Iowa, and Indiana on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
From Chicago, this is the way the numbers finished up for the afternoon. July corn futures were down 5.5 cents today at $3.49.5. September, 3.55¾, 6¼ lower. And December, 3.66¾, down 6.5 cents. The March at 3.77¼, down 6¾. Next year's July corn finished at 3.91. That's down 7 cents for the day. Soy complex July beans 4.5 cents higher, $9.27 the settlement price. August at 9.16¼, up 3. September 9.07¾, 2¾ higher. November beans at 9.06½, up 1¾. January at 9.13¾, a penny and a half higher. Bean meal futures up $6.20 at 3.08.10. Bean oil 41 cents higher at 31.73. Soft red winter wheat at $4.87¾ a bushel, down 5¾. The hard red Kansas at 5.12, down 12.5 cents. Live cattle futures from the CME Group at $152.35, 55 cents higher for the day. The August contract at 152.5, up 70. And the feeder cattle on the afternoon finished the nearby contract at $221.60. That's up $2 in the August. And the lean hogs in the June contract at $84 even, 82.5 cents higher. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online. Our address is willag.org.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Checking the outside markets at this hour, crude oil futures for the day at $57.57, down 46 cents. Heating oil or diesel fuel, $1.85.09, that's down 4.1 cents. Gasoline for the day at $1.95.1, 4.7 cents lower for the RBOB. That's the wholesale price. Natural gas at $2.82.5, 0.3 cents higher. And ethanol futures on their last trade finished up like this. The nearby contract at 3.5 cents lower, $1.53.1. That, of course, is the settlement price for the afternoon. Outside markets showing the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 90 points at this hour at 18,143. The gold down 75 cents at about $1,186. And the U.S. dollar, an important note for the day, at 97.475. That's up 0.068 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area. Isolated showers, a few thunderstorms today. Partly sunny, a high of 81. West winds at 11 to 15. They'll gust to 20. Chance of precipitation for this afternoon set at 20%. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 61. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, a high of 85. Thursday, mostly cloudy and a low of 66. Friday, a 50% chance of rainfall, some thunderstorms, partly sunny, a high of 85 degrees, a south-southwest wind on Friday at 9 to 16, gusting to 21 miles an hour. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
It is the 27th day of May, 2015. I'm Yovi Extension's Todd Gleason. Thanks for being along with us this afternoon on the line with us to take a look at what happened in the marketplace. From Chicago, agricultural trade is Jackie Vank. She's at Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign County. Thanks, Jackie, for taking the time with us this afternoon. Earlier today, we were talking about wheat on one of our morning reports, and many of them, in fact, and how the U.S. dollar and its strength has push that marketplace around. Can you explain that just a bit for me, please?
Well, certainly, Todd. I mean, when you look at the U.S. and the wheat market, the demand for wheat is in a totally different area than where we are. In other words, it costs a great deal more to ship it there. And so unless we have an advantage from an exchange rate standpoint, it really is very difficult for us to do that. And so I think it's pretty obvious the change we've seen this year, because when you look at exports, right now we're only at 95% of what the USDA was guessing it was going to be, and we're already 98% through the marketing year. We actually do start the new marketing year when we come into June 1st. Mm-hmm. And so it's tough to compete, let's just put it that way.
Wheat, of course, is under the influence of the dollar. We call that an outside market maker. There are other things that push the market around as well. When you look around the globe, where do you want to start? Because that's where we are today.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, there's so many different things that push all the markets around. You know, when you look at the U.S. and the world economies, you know, we're sitting on this little, everybody's sitting on the edge of their chair every time the Fed talks about raising rates. And yesterday when Stanley Fisher, who's a vice chairman and a voting member of the Board of Governors at the Fed, said be prepared for spillover from a rate hike, kind of sent a whole bunch of investment money off to the sidelines waiting. You know, he said, in 3 to 4 years, he thinks the borrowing rate could be 3.25% to 4%, which, you know, that means for us it's at least double that, if not more. And he was pretty vocal about the fact that, and kind of dismissive to investors, because he said you got to focus on the long term. And, you know, for a long time we've said basically it's not when they raise the rate, it's how much the rate changes that'll definitely determine the fallout. And, you know, then you move to Grexit, in other words, Greece. You know, Greece just made their payment last month. Now they're saying they don't know if they'll make their June IMF payment. And so could they exit the European Union? I doubt if it's going to happen, but it's a possibility. But the bigger one now, and they've coined it Brexit, is will the UK vote to leave the European Union? You know, that would be quite something, because, you know, it's Germany thinks that Prime Minister Cameron really doesn't want to do it, but he feels he has to, you know, he has to take the vote. And one of the reasons is that, you know, the UK has limited or prevented the number of people who've been able to come into the country, and that's against what the Eurozone policy has. So, you know, the UK's attitude seems to be, either change the rules or we're out of here. Now, just to give you an idea, the last time the UK left the Europe was when King Henry VIII wanted to marry Anne Boleyn. And the Pope from Italy did not approve, so they pulled out, you know. And France blames the UK for the slowness of all the European decision making, because they're very methodical. Spain can't understand it. They Interesting.
Interesting stuff. And in fact, when you look at it, I would think that the UK might be more likely to pull out, or easily be able to pull out, rather than Greece, simply because they did not convert their currency. Greece did. They used the euro, but the UK still has their own currency, so they wouldn't have to convert back. It'll be interesting to watch. A quick overview of corn and soybeans, and then I'll need to let you go for the day.
Okay. Well, I think it's interesting to note that open interest rose 44,000 contracts in the last 2 days on a down market, which means we have new sellers in that market. December broke that 370 psychological spot today, you know, and went within a penny and three quarters of the contract low. Exports are at 67%. We're at the 73% of the marketing year. And I think it's interesting when you look at avian bird flu, but the impact since January 1st, there's been over 40 million birds destroyed. And, you know, that's pretty tough. Yesterday's report certainly said the corn crop was off to a good start. I think warmer weather will probably improve crop ratings. Beans? Their exports are just the opposite. You know, it's being supported by the fact that we are 96% versus 73% of the marketing year. Argentina strike, certainly a big thing. And, you know, they're being supported, too, because El Nino could affect the palm oil. And so we've seen a lot of fund buying in the bean oil market. And so, a lot of spreading been going on, too. But in general, we're off to a good start.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you, Todd. Have a great one.
You too. That, of course, is Jackie Vake. She's with Stuart Peterson, one of those things that you weren't able to hear there, and I can see it on some of the notes that Jackie sent me before our talk this afternoon on the soybeans was about a double bottom at 9:02. So if you're thinking about what she said, that's what it was. Just one story in the agricultural news for the afternoon. U.S. EPA, the United States Environmental Protection Agency, and the U.S. Army Forest Civil Works finalized the Clean Water Rule this morning. The agency says it is an effort to clearly protect from pollution and degradation the streams and wetlands that form the foundation of the nation's water resources. The Waters of the United States Rule, sometimes called WOTUS, is supposed to more precisely define which bodies of water can be regulated under the Clean Water Act. The president of the Illinois Farm Bureau, Richard Gebert, says his organization is reviewing the rule now. However, the early impression is not good. We believe, says Gebert, this new regulation will cause greater confusion and new legal liabilities for farmers and landowners, while providing both agencies, U.S. EPA and the U.S. Army for Civil Works, with almost unlimited authority to regulate at their discretion. Gebert goes on to say Illinois Farm Bureau does not believe the regulation reflects the intent of Congress. Therefore, it will ask elected officials to take any available action to prevent the WOTUS rule from being implemented. Gebert does not like the way the administration went about creating the rule.
Or the administration has an agenda that they want to push, and they can't get consensus in Congress to move things or in the Senate. And so he's made a commitment to battle it out in the courts and then have that decision made. The challenge you come up with there, it costs money to go to court. There's really no true winners.
For its part, U.S. EPA says the new rule, quote, focuses on streams, not ditches. The rule limits protection to ditches that are constructed out of streams or function like streams and can carry pollution downstream, so the ditches that are not constructed in streams and that flow only when it rains are not covered. Just as importantly, there are lots of things the rule does not do, according to the agency. The rule only protects waters historically covered under the Clean Water Act. It claims it does not interfere with private property rights, and it only covers water, not land use. It also does not regulate most ditches, does not regulate groundwater or shallow subsurface flows, and does not change policy on irrigation or water transfers. Other farm organizations have tepidly received the rulemaking handed down by U.S. EPA today. If you'd like to learn more about WOTUS or the Waters of the United States rulemaking, you can do that on the U.S. EPA's website. There is a link at the top of the page. Once on that link, you can read up on some of the changes and information. The press release is there. And there are links to further help you delve into the waters of the U.S. rulemaking. Now let's turn our attention to a different agency that comes out of Washington, D.C. The National Agricultural Statistics Service released its weekly crop progress yesterday afternoon. It showed that as of the 24th day of May, that would have been Sunday, 92% of the corn around the nation had been planted. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 88%. 74% is now emerged, and that's ahead of the 64% rolling five-year average. The condition of the crop, and this is the first nationwide condition rating for the year, is said to be 23% fair, 16% good, and 12% excellent. 74% of the soybeans have been sown. The rolling five-year average is 43%, 35%, rather 32% of the crop is up and growing. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 25%. Now, here's an update from the statisticians in Illinois, Indiana, and Iowa.
This is Tyler Heap, agricultural statistician for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office. Wet conditions continue, delaying planting and allowing only 2.8 days suitable for field work statewide. Cattle producers had concerns about muddy feedlots, while crop farmers experienced spraying delays. Farmers are evaluating the need to replant corn in low-lying areas. The past reporting week began with unseasonably cool weather prevailing from Monday the 18th through Friday the 22nd. Daytime high temperatures were only in the mid-40s over parts of northern Iowa on Monday and Wednesday. Afternoon temperatures climbed into the 70s over most of the state on Thursday and Friday, while overnight lows remain unseasonably low. Temperatures edged slightly above normal across most of the state over the weekend. Temperature extremes ranged from a Thursday morning low of 33 degrees at Belle Plaine to a Sunday afternoon high of 81 degrees at Donaldson. Temperatures for the week as a whole averaged 6.5 degrees below normal. Meanwhile, there was scattered light rain on Sunday with some isolated higher amounts over parts of north central Iowa. Dry weather prevailed in most areas on Monday and Tuesday with light rain over much of Iowa on Wednesday. All of Iowa was dry on Thursday, while light rain fell across far western areas of the state on Friday and Saturday. Rain fell over all of Iowa on Sunday to close out the reporting week. Weekly rain totals varied from only 0.03 inches at Cresco and Marquette to 1.71 inches at Britt. The statewide average precipitation was 0.45 inches, while normal for the week is 1.05 inches. Topsoil moisture levels increased to 97% adequate to surplus. Subsoil levels increased to 91% adequate to surplus. 96% of the corn crop has been planted, one day ahead of last year and 3 days ahead of five-year average. Southwest Iowa remained well behind the other districts, with just 81% planted, while Northwest, North Central, and Central Iowa are virtually complete. Corn emerged reached 81%, 6 days ahead of last year, and 4 days ahead of normal. The first corn condition rating of the season was 0% very poor, 1% poor, 20% fair, 63% good, and 16% excellent. Soybean planting reached 70% complete, behind last year's pace for the first time this year. 32% of the soybean crop has emerged, slightly ahead of last year and normal. This is Tyler Heap reporting from the USDA NASS Iowa Field Office.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Last week was cooler than normal, but drier than average across Illinois. Statewide temperatures averaged more than 5 degrees below normal, and the state average rainfall was only 0.29 inches, more than 1/2 inch below normal for the week. Topsoil moisture levels declined slightly and are now rated 3% short, 82 adequate, and 15% surplus. Subsoil moisture also declined and is rated 10% short, 81 adequate, and 9% surplus. The wetter areas in the state are generally in southern Illinois. Soybean planting moved forward by 22 percentage points. As of Sunday, 69% of the state's soybean acres were planted, up from 47% last week and above last year's 60% and the five-year average of 57%. 38% of soybean acres have now emerged, ahead of 29%, which is the percent complete from 1 year ago and the five-year average. Corn planting reached 97% complete. 87% of the crop's acres have emerged compared to last year's 78% and the five-year average of 75%. The condition of the corn crop declined slightly from last week and is now rated as follows. 3% of acres are in very poor to poor condition, 17% fair, and 80% in good to excellent condition.
The wheat crop is now 89% headed, up from 70% 1 week ago, and ahead of last year's 77% and the five-year average of 83%. The condition of the crop improved slightly from last week and is now rated 10% very poor to poor, 31% fair, and 59% good to excellent. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Ben Megan with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report. Lighter precipitation allowed growers to make significant progress on planting this week. Average temperatures ranged from 56 to 64 degrees and from 6 degrees below to 1 degree above normal. The statewide average temperature for the week was 60.4 degrees, 4.4 degrees below normal. Recorded precipitation ranged from 0.08 to 0.44 inches, with a statewide average of 0.23 inches. Winter wheat headed was 58% complete, compared to 57% last year and 70% five-year average. Corn was 88% planted this week, compared to 85% last year and 81% five-year average. Corn emerged was 63% complete, compared to 64% last year and 62% five-year average. Soybeans were 59% planted this week, compared to 54% last year and 54% five-year average. Emergence in the corn and soybean crop has continued steady progress in most areas, though cool temperatures may be having a slightly negative effect. Fields that were mudded in show noticeably poorer stands, and some replanting may be necessary. Farmers have begun to side-dress corn in some fields. Corn planting is basically finished except for seed corn and low-lying or poorly drained fields. Winter wheat condition is largely unchanged from the previous week, though jointing and heading progress are both behind the five-year average. Other activities for the week included spraying for weeds, applying fertilizer, tilling fields, and transplanting vegetables into fields. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending May 24th, 2015. This is Ben Megan reporting.
Our thanks, of course, go to the state statisticians for their updates each and every week during the growing season of conditions across the Midwest. Let's check now conditions at the Andersons facility outside of Logansport, Indiana, the ethanol plant they call the Climbers. Pete Peterson is with us to talk about what's been happening there. Hi, Pete. Thank you for being with us. Farmers done in the field?
For the most part, we have holes that they've went around. They're trying to go back and replant, and just the tail end of the beans are still out there. I think the statewide they show us is 85% done on corn. I think most of the areas that they're having a few issues are south of Indianapolis, but up here, I would just call it considered almost done.
And hunting for corn, or have the bin doors begun to open again?
They're not, the opening is as well as we like to see just because of, the rains and stuff coming out and, kind of slowing down the planting progress. We actually had to improve our bid by a couple, 3 cents today, just try to spark a little bit more grain movement.
So how far under are you now?
We're actually over. We're a nickel over right now. We were at 2 over. We went to 5 over again. And so it's, trying to get grain moving again.
That puts your bid at what, about 354?
354, yes.
Yeah, 354. And for soybeans, what is your bid?
Soybeans into our Delphi facility just down the road, about 10 miles. We're at $9.36, which is 9 over the July.
All right. Thank you so much. We appreciate you being with us.
You bet. Thank you.
That, of course, Pete Peterson. He's with the Andersons Climbers facility. Joins us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Back with the weather in 2 minutes.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson. Since 1985, Stewart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. Information is available at stewart-peterson.com.
It's National Grape Popsicle Day. The invention of the popsicle goes to Frank Epperson, who in 1905 mixed some soda, water, powder, and water together and left the mixture on the back porch overnight with the stirring stick still in it. That night, the temperature dropped to a record low that froze the mixture solid. 18 years later, in 1923, the Epsicle hit the market in 7 fruit flavors. The name was later changed to the Popsicle. In the first 4 years, Epperson sold more than 60 million ice pops. On this day in agricultural history in 1907, Rachel Louise Carson was born. An American biologist, Carson wrote Silent Spring. The book was concerned with the dangers of environmental pollution, especially DDT. In 1930, Richard G. Drew of St. Paul, Minnesota, patented transparent cellophane adhesive tape. He worked out a deal with 3M to market the tape under the trademark Scotch. In 1933, the first automatic soda fountain dispenser was introduced by Coca-Cola. And in 1941, the U.S. Federal Register published the definition of enriched flour, giving specifications for required amounts it must contain of vitamin B, niacin, and iron. By the way, the effective date of riboflavin as a required ingredient of enriched flour is postponed until April 20th of 1943 because the available supply was inadequate. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Wednesday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated is here to take up the weather forecast. Let's start with the soft red winter wheat. They've gotten quite a little bit of rainfall, and the market has moved lower, I suppose, and our brokers are telling this is a case that that's related to the dollar and its value, but I would think that this crop might be in more trouble than in good shape. What is your assessment?
Well, you know, I think that that's a very good statement to make. We are pushing the limit, absolutely. And my guess is that as we speak right now, there's probably some rust and all kinds of other little bits of wet weather issues starting to impact some of the crop. And the question is can we shut off the spigot now and get us to dry down just in time to minimize this? And the answer to that is that, well, maybe. We will probably see a little bit of precipitation occurring off and on still yet for another week, and then we'll probably finally see some less frequent, less intensive rainfall across parts of the region. But as far as shutting it off completely and going to a dry mode for the balance of the growing season, that is highly unlikely. So we probably are going to end up with some issues on our hands. I don't think the soft wheat crop is going to have anything compared to that of the hard red wheat out there in Oklahoma. That's just a totally different world, and the conditions there are by far much, much worse.
Conditions in the Midwest for row crops, corn and soybeans?
Looks very good. Actually, for an established crop out there, this environment is almost ideal. We do have some areas that are a little bit too wet, and some that are actually a little on the dry side. But as we go forward through this next two-week period, we should see a good balance in weather. Those areas that are a little dry will pick up on some moisture. Those areas that are too wet in the southwest will see less rain eventually. And the temperatures are going to stay mostly seasonal with the exception of a brief period this weekend when it will cool off a little bit more than desired. But it's only a two-day, maybe three-day period, and then we'll turn right around and get back warm again. So it's really looking very good for most of the crops that are in the ground right now.
Other places around the northern hemisphere that you've been watching?
Well, we are watching a couple of areas. Nobody seems to have a serious problem at the moment. There's a lot of concern about Canada right now. The subsoil moisture in the Canadian prairies is just fine, but the topsoil has really dried out in the last couple of weeks, and there's some crop that was planted recently that doesn't have much of an opportunity to germinate without some moisture coming. So we're watching for that. That should come in the next week to 10 days. We're also watching China. China is going to continue to have almost ideal conditions from a winter wheat perspective, but there's some issues possibly brewing in the background for corn and soybeans in the east central parts of that country. And somewhere down the road in June, we're probably going to see some more notable drying occurring across some of that region that could end up being a bit more of an issue for later down the road. And, of course, there's India's monsoon, which everyone is already a little apprehensive about. It looks to me like the monsoon's going to get off to a favorable start
start next week, but what happens a little later in the summer is still up for grabs.
Drew, thanks so much for taking the time with us.
Thank you, and have yourself a good afternoon.
You too. That, of course, is Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joins me during the closing market report on this Wednesday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, reminding you to visit our website. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org.